Oh my goodness.
You guys have any aspirin? I got to deal with dope brick again?
Okay.
Brick, you better not make any comments. Can I just tell you a story with Brick and I?
Yeah.
We went to May 1 to Zaman by Rosh Yampai Chai's Kever. So he puts me by a bus stop. Next thing I know, he left me there. First, let's just put Lifa Yivu right off the bat. Okay, all seriousness. So, my name is Lavi Greenspan, and I beg of you, I'm being serious, don't Rick could tell you this, I'm being serious. I beg you, after the speech, please ask any question you want. I'm being dead serious. There's a Gemara Pesachim that says when Mashiach will come, hopefully will come Mamish Ke'erafah. Can we just close the door? Just only a moment. Okay. Thank you. Hopefully Mashiach will come Ke'erafahin, because we can use him, we all know. Hashem's going to hold a big festive lavish meal for the tzaddikim, a suit of Mashiach. At the end of the meal, Hashem's going to ask one of the tzaddikim to please lead the benching. So Hashem first turns to Avram Avinu, goes, Avram, please lead the benching during Mashiach. Avram goes, Hashem, I'm evil son Yishmael, which we all know about, Abbas, Ahmadinejad, Barack Obama, you know, we can go on. Hashem then turns to Yitzchak Avinu, goes, Yitzchak, you please lead the benching. Yitzchak goes, Hashem, I can't. I also had an evil son. I had Esau. The Crusades, Inquisition, pogroms, we can go on also. Hashem then turns to Yaakov, you know, where all of Chayso came out, the Shvatim, and goes, Yaakov, I beg with you, I plead with you. Please, please lead the benching in the Sudos of Mashiach. Yaakov goes, Hashem, I can't. I married two sisters and I became us after we received the Torah. Hashem then turns to the greatest Navi ever to walk this earth, Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe, you're the greatest Navi ever to walk this earth, past, present, or future. You took care of my people for 40 plus years. You gave Klaiso the Torah. You talked to me for 40 days and 40 nights besides other times. Please, Moshe, I beg with you, I plead with you, please lead the benching during the Suda Mashiach. Moshe responds, Hashem, I never had the merit to go to Eretz Yisrael. I never stepped foot in the Holy Land. Hashem then turns to Yoshua ben Nun, the prime disciple of Moshe Rabbeinu, says, Yoshua, you please lead the benching during the Suda Mashiach. Yeshua goes, Hashem, I can't. I never had any sons, so I never filled the mitzvah of Puruvu. Hashem then turns to David HaMelech, and David HaMelech goes, no problem, I'll lead the benching. The Gemara Pesachim says, what's the chusid? The Gemara gives a reason why David HaMelech led the benching. It quotes the famous pasuk from Abdullah, Kos Yeshua desa uveshem Hashem ekra, which in English means, I hold up the cup of salvation, and I call out to you, Hashem. The famous Rabbi Pesach Kron asks an obvious question. Abraham couldn't lead the benching because he had a son, he had an evil son, Yishmael. Yitzchak couldn't lead the benching because he had an evil son, Esau. We know David's own son, Avshalom, rebelled against him. On top of it, David HaMelech was not permitted to build the Beis HaMikdash because his hands were so bloody. He was involved in so many wars. His son Shlomo had to. So how could David HaMelech, what merit, what's the chus, did David HaMelech have to lead the benching during Suda Mashiach? So Pesach Kron says, let's go to Halal, which was written by David HaMelech. In it there's a pasuk that said, Sama v'yoga nebzah v'shem Hashem ekra. When I find myself in difficult times, when my back is to the wall, Hashem, I call out to you, I plead to you, I beg with you, please Hashem help me out. So Pesach Kron says, it's obvious when one is facing difficult times, of course one's going to beg and cry to Hashem. But what about during good times when you have an incredible year in Yeshiva Torah Shraga with incredible Bayim like Rabbi Oblowski, Rabbi David, and incredible Chavusas? Don't you think we should say thank you to Hashem? Don't you think we should go to sleep at night, say thank you Hashem for giving me the opportunity to learn your Torah and Yushalayim, your Kaddish, an incredible Yeshiva Torah Shraga? He says, that's what the pasuk was saying. Kos Yeshua Tessa, I hold up the cup of salvation, I call out to Hashem. With Hashem, Hashem Ekra. Whether it was difficult times or good times, David HaMelech always cried, always begged, and always talked to Hashem. You see this throughout the whole Sefer Tehillim. That David HaMelech views Hashem as his father. You see from the following story how important to know that a Kaddish Baruch Hu is our Father, but not just a Father, a loving and merciful Father, and we are His precious children. About a little bit over 16 years ago, I started Fordham Law School in Manhattan, and I used to take a subway every day. I used to live up near YU so I could learn Torah, you know, at night and day during the base medrash. Around October, November, I started to notice that every time I got off the subway, I always had to run towards the water fountain. I was always dying of thirst. So I thought maybe I had diabetes, because one of the signs of diabetes, you're always thirsty. So in January of 1995, I went to my doctor and he checked me out. He goes, Levi, you don't have diabetes, but come back to me a month from now. So I figure if he said come back to me a month from now, no need to go back to him at all. It's not an emergency. So from January to May of that year, I was waking up a lot in the middle of the night, constantly going to the bathroom, constantly drinking. I was very hyper, very excited. So I really thought that to be one of two problems. Either a psychological issue, or I just hate law school. In relation to a law school problem, I signed up for a social work school that had a summer program. And in relation to a psychological issue, I started to go see a psychologist. It was around May time when my mother goes to me, you know, Levi, why don't you go back to the doctor for a checkup? Go see your doctor. Go for a visit. I went back to my doctor, and I had this big, fat, bloated face. I can't even describe. I guess I look a little bit like Jason Giambi when he took drugs. But I really had this big, fat, bloated face. I really can't describe it. I'm being honest with you. The doctor took one look at my face, and he goes, you have Cushing's disease. You have a benign tumor. He then sent me to Mount Sinai Hospital in Manhattan to an endocrinologist where an MRI and a CAT scan was ordered to be taken, and they found a benign tumor in the pituitary gland right below the brain. They then told me I would need two operations in order to move the tumor. One was a 9.5-hour open head surgery, and another was a 6-hour operation through the nose. Baruch Hashem, I owe tremendous gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Baruch Hashem, both operations were successful and Baruch Hashem, everything went well. About 2 weeks later, I had a checkup with one of my newer surgeons, and about a day or two before the checkup, I know something strange, something unique. I seem to have a lot of mucus in my nose. So when I showed up for the checkup with one of the newer surgeons, he goes, Levi, that's not mucus. You're leaking fluid from your head. You're now going to require another 4-hour operation through the nose to close up that leak. When I woke up, I go, Doctor, I think I have news you don't want to hear. I really believe I'm still leaking. I really believe I'm still leaking. He goes, Levi, there's no way you're leaking. You just underwent a 4-hour operation, a 4-hour surgery. You're not leaking. You're imagining it. I'm telling you, when we take the cotton out of your nose, you see all you have is dry blood. Sure enough, when he took the cotton out of my nose, I was still leaking. I then had to undergo another 6-hour open head surgery to close up that leak. During that summer of 1995, I had a total of 4 operations. After the 4th surgery, they told me that in order to get to the benign tumor, they had to knock the optic nerve out of its place. But they said my vision would restore itself. I forgot it was October, November, December, but Baruch Hashem, I got back to normal vision. Around February or March of 1996, I started to notice that every time I ate, food would come flying out of my mouth onto my clothes. So I got in touch with a Dr. Bookbinder at Mount Sinai Hospital, and he told me due to all the operations, due to all the surgeries, scar tissue wrapped around my jaw, and that's why I couldn't open my mouth fully, and that's why food was falling out. He told me I would need to undergo another 1.5-hour surgery, in and out the same day to cut away the scar tissue. After I recovered from that operation, I started to undergo radiation treatments to remove what was left of the benign tumor. I think I went about once a week over a 5-week period. Baruch Hashem, the radiation was so small, was so minute, that Baruch Hashem, I had no nausea, no hair loss whatsoever. When the radiation was completed and the treatments were over, I was hoping that this would be the last time I need to step foot in any hospital, even Mount Sinai, except maybe for an occasional checkup, but hopefully no more surgeries, no more operations, no more radiation, no more major medical procedures. I was hoping this whole episode, this whole story of my life was coming to an end, was coming to a conclusion. In August of 1997, a good friend of mine, Jonathan Kaplan, was getting married in St. Louis, Missouri, and my sister's in-laws happened to live in St. Louis, and they said to me, "Lavie, you can stay at our house, drive our car, do whatever you want. At the same time you're going to be in St. Louis, we're going to be in Eric Stroh for our own son's wedding. Do whatever you want. Our house is your house." So one day, I was backing their car up into the driveway, into the garage, when I hit the side wall of the garage. I figured whatever reason, I didn't see it so clearly. I missed it. A couple days later, when I came back to New York, my father goes to me, "You know, Lavie, I'll drive your sister and brother-in-law are coming home from the wedding. I'll drive my car to the airport and you'll drive theirs. You'll pick up your sister and brother-in-law." So I was driving on the Van Wyck Highway when I cut a guy off. I went right in front of him. I can't tell you how much gratitude I owe to the Ribono Shel Olam that Baruch Hashem, no one got injured, no one got killed, and no car was damaged. But I realized there was something wrong with my vision if I couldn't see a car in back of me. So I went to one ophthalmologist who referred me to another, who said to me, "No need to get concerned. Don't get so scared. You'll come once or twice a week to my office. You'll do some computer exercises, and you see your vision will be okay. Don't worry, you're going to be okay." So I used to go to his office, do a computer exercise, exactly like he told me. But unfortunately, I saw just the opposite of what he told me. Every day, my vision was decreasing. Every day, I was seeing less and less and less. So I got in contact with a Dr. Joe Mindell. He's a newer ophthalmologist at Mount Sinai Hospital. And by the time I went to see him, I could no longer see out of my left eye. He said to me, "There's no way I can get back the vision you lost, nor can I guarantee you're going to see for the rest of your life." Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't remember how I reacted, but imagine I was not jumping up for joy being notified that I'm going to go blind. I owe tremendous gratitude to Hashem that my Baruch Hashem, I'm blessed with a beautiful, loving, incredible family. My beautiful family did some homework, and they found out about Dr. Scott Foreman at Westchester County Medical Center. Dr. Foreman has a technique called the hyperbaric chamber. What that is, that's a glass tube. You line it for 2 hours at a time, twice a day, and you receive oxygen. Dr. Foreman told me through this, being this glass tube, twice a day, receiving oxygen for 2 hours apiece, he can keep the eyesight I have. He can't get back the vision I lost, but he can keep the eyesight I have. And every time you enter or leave the hyperbaric chamber, a nurse takes your temperature. So one day I was leaving, and the nurse took my temperature, and she goes, "You know, Lavie, you have 103. Is anybody home? Who do you want me to contact?" Again, I don't remember, but I must have told, "Give me some Tylenol, some Advil, I can go home myself." Again, I owe tremendous, tremendous gratitude to the Ribono Shel Olam that the nurse did not listen to me. The nurse put me on the side for observation. She watched me and monitored me. My temperature went up to 105 and I went unconscious. I was unconscious for 3 full days. I had meningitis. When I woke up, they transported me back to Mount Sinai Hospital, where I then need to undergo another 6-hour open head surgery. That was my 6th operation. After I recovered, I returned back to Dr. Scott Foreman. I was hoping he was going to say, "Yes, Lavie, we're going to save your vision. Don't worry, you're not going to go blind. You'll be okay." You know what he said to me? "Yes, we can put you in the hyperbaric chamber. And yes, we can give you oxygen. But unfortunately, I'm not sure it's going to be successful since the treatments were interrupted." Around Hanukkah 1997, I lost my vision completely. I became 100% totally blind. I'm not going to lie to you, but the Hanukkah was probably my most difficult Hanukkah of my life. This was the first time since I was a little kid that my father had to hold my hand to light the menorah. You know, Chanukah is one of the few yontes we're seeing is everything. Whether lighting your menorah, or seeing your friends' menorahs, or walking the beautiful streets of Yerushalayim, Eir HaKodesh, seeing menorahs outside of people's windows, or the houses I meant, seeing the flame, the wick, the oil, how beautiful it is, how incredible it is, thanking Hashem that you're still alive, thanking Hashem for that He gave you. Yes, I can thank Hashem that I'm still alive, and I can thank Hashem for that He gave me, but I can't look at other people's menorahs that my own. You know what it means not be able to look at the Daf Gemara? Not be able to read a machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Silo? Or we read the Gevaldic words of Rabbi Akiva, Vayochan ben Zakeh, Shim ba Yechai? You know what it means not be able to read a Rashi or Tosfos? You know what it means when you're learning with your Chavrus and you get stuck and he has to look inside and you can't? You know what it means not be able to read the holy words of the Rambam? Or look up, you can't look up Allah in the Mishnah Berurah? You know what it means? You have to ask a friend, please tell me what Rashi says in that pasuk, because you can't see the Rashi. You know what it means to be at a Shabbos or Yontif table, and they're discussing a Rashi, and you have no idea what's going on? Or to have five nephews and nieces, have no idea what they look like? Or to wake up in the morning, and you can't admire Hashem's incredible creations, such as a bird, a tree, or a piece of grass, or sunshine and moon, or rain or snow? You know what it means to put clothes on in the morning, you have no idea what color they are? Or to have food put in front of you, or you have no idea what you're about to eat? Or to walk the beautiful streets of Yerushalayim, and you can't admire the beauty? Or to be at the Kotel, and you're told you're not allowed to do Kriya because you can't see the Kotel? You know what it means to be in a Beis Medrash, and you can't see someone learning Torah? You know what it means to meet a tzaddik like Rabbi Oblaski, and you can't see the Kedusha on his faces? On his face, yes, you can feel his Kedusha, but you can't see it. I went blind in my last semester of law school. So my sister, Marit Wolf, she's a lawyer. She volunteered to help me out with one of the finals. So Baruch Hashem, I passed that final. These two other individuals, Seth Berkowitz and David Becker, volunteered to help me out with the other one. And Baruch Hashem, I passed that one also. Then an organization that deals with the visually impaired is called the Lighthouse for the Blind. They came over to my house and they put little buttons on my microwave and my oven so I can feel it to use it. They tell me to notify my entire family that nothing in my house can move without telling me. The milk, the orange juice, the water, all stays in the exact same spot. If someone moves and doesn't tell me, I'm going to pour orange juice into my cereal thinking that's milk. All the doors in my house have to be closed. If someone leaves the door a little ajar, I'll smack my head right into it. If someone puts a package on the living room floor and doesn't tell me, I'll kick it across the room like a football. Maybe I can try out for the Giants. I heard they're pretty pathetic. I'm sorry, I had to do that. I'm a Cowboy fan. I'm sorry. So if you put a hot, some people put a hot bowl of soup, a hot coffee on the table, doesn't tell me, I'll knock it all over the place, which I did in a location in Brooklyn by accident. At the end of law school, as all of you know, is the bar exam. So the course that prepares you for the bar exam is called Barbary, and that course was sued by blind people a couple years before, so they put the whole course on the cassette tape. I live in Hillcrest, Queens, near my good friend Del Brick, who lives in West Hempstead, and I called two people from my neighborhood. One of them was Rebbetzin Esther Krauss, and within 2 days, I had over 30 lawyers, 30 Yidden, 30 Jews, who volunteered to come over one per night to help me study for the bar. The bar is usually 2 days, but disabled people like me, we get 4 days. And we're allowed to bring in any friends or relatives to ask us the questions, as long as they're not lawyers or law students. I think after 10, 11 volunteers, I didn't even need to ask people. People volunteered to take the exam with me. And Baruch Hashem, due to the tremendous graciousness of Hashem, I passed the New York State Bar on the first try. I received smicha about 7 years ago, and I'm currently finishing up social work school. But people ask me what made me go on, what made me continue, why did I stay home and cry for the rest of my life, stay home and do nothing. So I tell you, besides my family, and I thank the Kaddish Baruch Hu for having such a beautiful, loving, incredible family, but besides my beautiful, great family, there are 4 reasons I continued. The first one is the Ribono Shel Olam, is a Kaddish Baruch Hu. I can't explain you this, but for the last 13 plus years since I lost my vision, since I went blind, I feel wherever I go, Hashem is holding my hand. I'm going to tell you something that's going to blow you away. I feel more closer to Hashem now than ever before in my life. When I daven, I feel I'm talking face to face, mouth to mouth, eye to eye to Hashem. I really feel that Hashem is my Tati, Avinu Avrahaman. You should just know, wherever you go in life, you're never alone. Hashem is with you. Yes, you can daven in the shul, in the beis medrash. You can talk to Hashem in your bedroom, in this room, in the cafeteria. You're never alone. Wherever there's a Yid, wherever there's a Jew, Hashem is found. You shouldn't just say Hashem is found in Jewish communities. Wherever there's a Jew, Hashem is found. You're never alone in life. You can talk to Akash Baruch Hu wherever you are. Hashem just wants to hear from you. You should know you're never alone. And when you chas v'sholom being tested, when you get facing a nisayon, Hashem is even closer. He's holding you. He's carrying you. You're never alone in life. Just talk to Hashem like you talk to a friend. The second item that made me continue is my Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda Parnas Shlita. I still remember when I was in the ICU before my first operation, with wires coming in and out of my body, I still remember that you were not permitted to have a visitor at 9:30 in the morning. And I still remember Rabbi Parnas Shlita bending over my bed at 9:30 in the morning in the ICU, saying, Levi, I told the nurse I'm your rabbi, and she said I can have 1 minute. And that's all I need. I need to tell you one thing. I am there for you. And what Parnas has been there for me and my family through the 13 plus years. When you mentioned my Parnas' name in my household, my whole family views him as a father. They respect him tremendously. So people ask me, how did I get so close to my Parnas? So I tell you, when I could see, I went and asked him every question in the book. Am I doing the salacha correctly? Is this what I should be doing for summer vacation? Is this the proper hashkaf I should have in life? Well, Parnas has been a major, major pillar support for my family and I. You Bachrim are blessed with incredible Rebbeim and Rosh Yeshiva. From Rabbi David to Rabbi Basky, to Rabbi Zinkin, to Rabbi Goldschmidt, to Rabbi Schneider, to Rabbi Yudin, I can keep going on. To Rabbi Green, to Rabbi Reichman, I can go on and on. Don't be embarrassed. Ask your Rebbeim any question in the book, from what bracha you should make on a cereal, to what you should do for Shabbos, to what you should do next year, to what you should do for summer vacation. Develop a kesher with your Rebbeim. I can't tell you how important it is to develop a kesher with your Rebbeim. I can tell you, I have a good friend, Yitzchak Sass, who learns in Lander College. He's still very close to Rabbi Oblowski and also Rabbi Parnas. I can't tell you how important it is to have a Rebbe. And hopefully, and you'll see your Rebbe will be there in the good times. And chas v'shalom. And I repeat, chas v'shalom. If you should face so-called difficult times, so-called hard times, you'll thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for having your Rebbe to be there to hold your hand. But please, I'm begging you, I think Rabbi Oblowski agrees with me, ask your Rebbe any question in the book. Don't be embarrassed. Develop a kesher with him. The third item that made me continue is Klal Yisrael, the Jewish community, the Yiddish community. I still remember, besides my family, who were there day in and day out, I had tons and tons and tons of amazing friends. Besides my friends, I had Satma women. I had Orthodox doctors. People from local shul in Hanukkah called Oyev Tzedek. This woman, Mrs. Khan, and this guy, Mickey. I'm just guessing that the nurses... must be amazed and marveled at all how many visitors I had. But I don't need to tell you how beautiful Klal Yisrael are. You guys are a prime example. You volunteer one per night to take me around. You guys are the perfect example. But all of us know we can do much more chesed. What it means, carry two pens with you. Because maybe a friend in the shir needs an extra pen. Carry extra shekels with you. Because maybe a guy needs one or two extra shekels. We all know people who don't have places for Shabbos. Think of people that say, come with me for Shabbos. We all know people are lonely. Call them once a week before Shabbos and say, I'd just like to wish you a good Shabbos. You know what it means to call somebody who's lonely once a week to wish them a good Shabbos? You put a sunshine on their face for the whole week. Klal Yisrael is built on chesed. Olam chesed yibaneh. I'm telling you, there's so many acts of chesed. You don't need to give $10 million to do chesed. Yes, that'd be nice. But I'm trying to say, there's so many acts of chesed you can do that's tremendous. I can tell you, Dov Brick and Andrew Israeli took me last year to May 1, and they didn't have to. Today, Gans and Dani took me to Kevin Rachel. They could have said, no, we don't want to go. But that's what Chesed is built on. The last item that made me continue is Torah. And I can't tell you how much I miss learning Torah. I tell everyone, if a Kaddish Baruch Hu made me blind to teach me the importance of learning Torah, I understand why it made me blind. I miss learning Torah tremendously. And all of you guys admit, the more you learn Torah, the more you see how emes, how truthful it is. But through Torah, I realize that everything Hashem does is gamzu l'Torah. It's for my best, even so I might not understand how it's for my best. I don't know if you notice, but if you go to someone's house who doesn't learn Torah, who doesn't live Torah, who doesn't occupy themselves in Torah, they get consumed by the craziest things, like what color to paint a room. It becomes a whole deal to Shabbos table. It becomes a political debate. One person says blue, yellow, green, orange. You think you're at an Obama John McCain debate. But if you go to someone's house who learns Torah, who lives Torah, who occupy themselves with Torah, you see they don't worry what color to paint a room. Because you realize there's much more to life than what color they're going to paint a room. I never had the zechus, as far as I remember, because I've been blind for 13 years. But I don't think I've ever had the zechus maybe once to see Rabbi Oblavsky's face. But we all know he's always smiling. Because Torah makes you smile. I guarantee you this. The more you learn and live Torah, the more you're going to smile. The more you learn and live Torah, the more you're going to thank Hashem for giving you a purpose and meaning in life. The more you learn and live Torah, the more you just want to dance and sing to the Eibusha, sing to Hashem. The more you learn and live Torah, the more you're going to thank Hashem for making you a Yid, for making you a Jew. The more you learn and live Torah, the more you're going to thank Hashem for giving you the Torah. The more you learn and live Torah, the more you're going to thank Hashem for giving you the opportunity to develop a relationship with Him. And the more you learn and live Torah, the more you're going to thank Hashem for making you part of Am HaNivcha, Am HaSkul, a part of the chosen nation. And when you get depressed, if you get stuck in a Rashi or Tosfos, think about me who can't even look in. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you the opportunity to learn His Torah on a silver platter. He's saying, you guys here, you have 1 or 2 years. I can't stress you more. If you guys can stay Shana, Bet Shana, Gimel Shana. I'm telling you, the more you learn Torah, the more you're going to be happy. I'm telling you, stay as much as you can and learn Torah. If you have any questions, I beg. You can ask me anything you want. Anybody here? So I have to tell you, one of the benefits of being blind, you get a cane. If you're back with somebody you don't like, you can hit them and tell them it's an accent. A lot of my friends have been hit.
What about W. Brick?
No, W. Brick I happen to love. I'm being serious. But if you guys ever need to get someplace fast, call me. I'll do the driving. I'll be there in 5 minutes. Be there by ambulance. Please, do you have any questions, please? No questions?
In the morning. Is it...
What's your name?
Matthew.
Wait, where are you from?
Houston, Texas.
Okay. You know, you know Ari Siegel, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, he's a great man.
I'm not too far from your Cowboys.
I know, I've been saying Kaddish for them every day. Matthew?
After Texas and mine too.
Wait, Matthew, when are you coming back? After Shavuos?
To Israel?
No, I'm saying, when does the year end for you here?
Anytime I want it. No, I'm kidding. I
should. Okay, so do me a favor when you come back, because when I go back to New York, I go to the cemetery every day and visit the New York Mets. You know, Matthew, the Mets got a new player today.
Who?
John McCain in a wheelchair. What?
Better than nothing.
I know, but they're pathetic. You know that. We have Jose Reyes, pulls the hair out of his head. He's injured for the whole year. You know. Yeah. Anyway, what's your question, Matthew?
It's a little bit.
You can ask any question you want. You can ask any question you want. I don't get embarrassed.
Is it hard for you to say the bracha for Pesach Yom in the morning?
So what I usually do, I ask two Rabbanim, I'm allowed to say it. So I asked why you've been a Vicky for Mansi. He said, "When I have kavana, is I should have kavana that people like you, Baruch Hashem, Pesach, can help me out." With Dan Segel from Yishalayim Yerkosh, I should have kavana that Hashem should open my eyes and let me see again. So you know, there's halacha that if you daven for other people first, you get answered, you know, before them. Which you know, so I think of someone else who has palm seeing, and I say the bracha for him. Barack Obama. I'm just joking. By the way, Matthew, next week, can you see me on TV?
Where?
Blind Man Sniper Kills the President. Any other questions? Matthew, I'm being serious. I'm serious. My sample care, even though I'm serious, I really think of someone else who's blind, some guy who knows blind. I'm being serious about that. Who's your Rebbe?
Rabbi Shisama
Tan? No.
From Chicago.
Oh. No, I'm saying, who's your Rebbe here?
A Rebbe?
So who's Shia Yodu here?
I'm in a few.
Okay, I wish you had Slacha. I wasn't making fun. What's on it? I was not making fun. Jesus. Okay, any other questions?
After 36 hours.
Where are you from?
I'm from Australia.
Okay.
After 36 hours of surgery, you never had any doubt at all that something might happen, or how did you actually how did you keep the faith?
Keep the faith. So I tell you this. Hashem will only give you a nisayon you can pass. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So as I told you, you made me blind at the last semester of law school. From like January to end of July, I didn't have time to think because I had test after test, you know? And my brother-in-law, he warned me, Levi, you're going to get depressed after the last test. I got depressed. But I didn't get full, you know, then we came to Eretz Yisrael. I'm Leo Rabinovich from Yerushalayim, cheered me up. But I don't know how to explain you this. I never really got angry at Hashem. Here and there, but overall, no. Because I tell you this, what's your name? I'm sorry, I didn't get your name. Yeshua? Yeshua, so I tell you this, if you look through life, you'll see Yad Hashem in your life. I'm telling you, I just told this yesterday to Afike, the seminary. You look through life, you'll find Hashem in your life. Let me ask you a question. When you look in the Torah, I'm not talking Gemara obviously, but you look in the Chumash, no human being could have wrote the Torah. It makes no logical sense. How can you tell me I can't think bad of somebody? How can you tell me not to work the field for a whole year? And I guarantee you, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How can you tell me not to work full day Shabbos? You know, what I'm trying to say, you know, all these items are great, don't get me wrong, but I'm just trying to say, you look at the Torah, you look through life, you see Yad Hashem, you see how, you know, look at Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is just a land that runs a miracle after miracle after miracle, you know, or Klal Yisrael altogether. We're probably one of the most persecuted nations in the world, But yet we survive. But not only do we survive, we flourish. After the Holocaust, we built yeshivas, seminaries, kolas all over the world. Australia, America, Canada, you know, England. I'm just saying, you see, it doesn't make logical sense. There was a famous writer called Mark Twain in the 1800s. And you know what he said? The Jews are less than 1% population of the world, but everyone knows what a Jew is. Why? Because we are Kadosh Baruch Hu's kinderlach. We are the children of Hashem. Hashem will do nothing to hurt you. Now, can I tell you why he did it? I have no idea. But I know when Mashiach comes, I'll be dancing and saying, thank you, Hashem. If I could physically hug him, I'd be hugging him. Do I get depressed? That's another thing. But doubting Hashem, no, I don't really. I doubted him much more than before. I don't know how to tell you, but I doubted before, you know. All I can tell you is before my fourth operation, I told my Rebbe, I'm being serious, I think I'm going to die, I'm going to go to Gehenna. And he kissed my forehead, he said, Levi, you're not going to die, you're not going to go to Gehenna. But again, it wasn't a doubt against Hashem. You know what I'm saying? Hashem is the best. Yeshua, let me ask you a question. When you look in the Torah, you don't see Yad Hashem?
We do.
Yeah. But look at Eretz. Look, when you look at Klal Yisrael, you don't see Hashem running the world, like Hashem is, you know. If you look, Eretz Yisrael is the most talked about nation in the world. In Africa, they could be killing each other. The world doesn't say beep. When an Israeli soldier kills an Arab out of self-defense, the world goes crazy. Because again, it's Hashem telling us, I'm with you. Hashem saying, yes, Hashem might be telling us we have to do tshuva. That's a different story, but Hashem is telling us, I am with you. Look at any Israeli war, and you can't explain how they won. In 1973, we were on the brink of destruction. By the end of the war, we were 10 miles outside of Damascus. 1948, we didn't even have an army. And 6 fully fortified armies came and attacked us. We pushed them off. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with us. I can tell you this, Yeshua, we have nothing to worry about. Our Tati is watching us. You know, I didn't mean to give mutsa, I'm sorry, I apologize.
Yeah,
what? But you're copying what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Can I just ask you, are you late? You swore a word ago? Like Mordechai, I'm not making fun. Like,
yeah,
he's not Mordechai. Oh, wow. I wasn't making fun of you.
No.
I was just asking.
No.
Where in Australia? Perth, you live in?
Melbourne.
What?
Melbourne.
I wish you hatzlach in all that you do in life. Any other questions? What's your name?
Eric.
Where are you from?
Windmere.
Okay. What's your last name?
Fruchter.
Okay.
So you talked about before how you went blind in the Hanukkah 97, and you said how you were frustrated and how you couldn't see the candles, you couldn't see...
Not frustrated, down. I wasn't frustrated, a little down. But yeah, it's a little different, but yeah.
Alright, so I guess the question is, were you like at any point frustrated that you became...
I tell you where I get frustrated, lost independence. Like, example, I can take care of, let's say, I can hop in a cab from here to Bnei Brak, but I need someone to help me. You know what I'm saying? What's frustrating a lot is a loss of independence. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's what I find very, very frustrating. I got to rely on people, whether taking a cab or, you know, like, yes, I have a cane. I can walk around my block with canes. My neighborhood, I live in Hillcrest, Queens. I can walk around my neighborhood with canes.